So what do? When you're about to move to the other side of the world, you have no career path or any clue on how your life will look like over there. And what if you find out several days before your departure that your favorite outdoor beanbag has no point of sale in your new home country? Which is a pity, really, because you would really like to have that beanbag in your new home. This is what happened to Elselien Hoekstra, founder and CEO of Kenza. Kenza represents several Dutch interior design brands in Chile. Something that started with just bringing her favorite beanbag from the brand Fatboy to Chile has grown into an organization that imports, distributes, and sells several Dutch interior brands in the Chilean market. And all of this is not really a coincidence, because Elselien is Dutch, but she lives in Chile. In today's episode, she shares all about how she navigates in between these two different cultures. Two different cultures that are the nature of her business, really. The Netherlands and Chile. You hear all about the cultural differences she faces with, for example, suppliers, customers, how managing her team in, let's say, the Dutch egalitarian way does not always pay off, and how she has or had to learn the hard way how business was done in Chile. That and so much more in today's episode. I promise you that you will laugh. I promise you that you will get inspired. And I promise that you will learn from the talk with Elselien. And if you're Dutch or Chilean, you do business with other cultures, and specifically you do business within these two cultures, make sure to stay until the end. I'm promising you that it's worth it. Thanks a lot for being here. Enjoy the talk with Elselien. I look forward to hearing what you thought of it. Very good afternoon, Elselien.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm really happy to have you here. Because yeah, it's a very interesting conversation, I feel, that we're gonna have, because for me also you bring two worlds together that are very close to my heart. Because you are CEO and founder of Kenza. And with Kenza, you represent several Dutch interior design brands like Fatboy, Ixi, Miffy, or in Dutch known as Nijntje, Mr. Maria, or Essenza Home. And you import, distribute, and sell those brands through, for example, Kenza.cl, your own e-commerce platform. And I think it's so cool because you make it possible for, you know, Chilean households, Chilean offices, you know, to decorate their space with Dutch interior and design. And I'm extremely curious to hear how you navigate in between these two, what I know, very different cultures, and how you do that and how Kenza is such a success as it is. So I want to wish you a very warm welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Very good introduction. Everything has been said. Very good. Yeah, I'm excited too and very happy to be here.
No, cool. Thanks a lot. Thanks for being here. And the fact that you bring these two worlds, so the Netherlands and Chile, you bring them together, is not a coincidence, let's be honest, because you are Dutch from origin, but you live in Chile. And
yes.
For how long have you been living in Chile, and how, take us back to the moment that you moved?
Well, 10 years. I'm going to have 10 years here now this year. So quite some time. Yeah, I fell in love with the Chilean doing traveling, and that made us Skyping for 1.5 years. And then at one point I decided, okay, let me take a look in Chile. Where is Chile? What is Chile? This is the short version. And then I arrived here and we decided, okay, we're going to start together and start a life here. I went back to Holland to prepare myself to leave. And he asked me, what do you want to bring with you? And I said, oh, I would like to bring my Fatboy. And
You
and
have
that
to
made,
be kidding me. This is so
yes,
cool.
and then made us like, yeah, wait. And then he called me back 1 week later and he said, yeah, I've been looking around if I can buy a fat boy here and like a bean bag or something like this. And I cannot find it. And I said, I was thinking the same thing. And you know what? I have this idea. So I start calling the company. I said, how do I get the fat boy to Chile? And no, we don't have a sales point in whole South Africa and South America. And it should be coming from North America or from Europe. And I was like, okay, but yeah, from North America, we had some problems in the past, and from Brazil one time, but also had some problems. So I called back my now husband and I said, I have an idea. Why we don't bring fat boy to Chile? Because moving just one bean bag to Chile was very, very expensive. So I ended up bringing a container full of a 40-foot container. And that's how we started the business. So I moved to Chile and at the same time I started the business.
So basically you moved together with a 40-foot container full of fat
yeah.
boys.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly like that. Yeah.
But so basically you this business idea was born prior to you living in Chile, prior to your life
yes.
being established.
Yes. It was really my love for the brand Fat Boy. And I always say my second love was the Fat Boy. And and I wanted to bring something. I didn't bring any furniture, anything. I just said the Fat Boy would be nice. I really like to sit in the Fat Boy, so it would be nice to have one there. But you know, mine is already 10 years old. I could buy one. So that was a bit the discussion. So then we ended up investigating, and he said, actually, we called each other at the same time. We were like, you know what? I have this idea. What's your idea? My idea is why we don't bring a container. I thought the same thing. So we were both like, ah! Well, you've seen our energy, so that can
exactly
explode
yes.
between us.
Very
and
contagious.
We were like, let's investigate. And we made a good email, and he wrote more about why the country Chile is interesting to have a fat boy. And I brought it back to how did fat boy develop in Europe and how I can do, because I have this know-how, because I know Fatboy from the beginning, like how they can develop in South America. So this became to a meeting like the day before I left to Chile. It was like, yeah, we got your email, we would like to talk to you. And I said, yeah, but I'm moving tomorrow, I have everything packed. But it was a Monday, on Wednesday, so you have one day left, right? Yes. Okay, so I left to Fat Boy. I spent the whole day there, and we talked the whole day about how we're gonna do this and how we're gonna implement. So they gave me a year to try and to see if I can bring it on the market and represent the brand. So that was a very nice challenge. Also because I had no idea of importing, and I had no idea of the Chilean country, and no idea of Spanish. I didn't speak Spanish at that time. But yeah, I put up a plan and we started, and yeah, now I'm already doing it 10 years. So,
and I mean, we will get there, but it's much bigger than just Fat Boy as of now.
Well, by now, yes.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So, but was it your original plan, like together with the move to Chile, to start something on your own or to run your own business? Did you have a plan?
I always love to have my own business. In Holland, I also have my own business, but in a complete other direction. I was dancer, dance teacher, choreographer. So my message was always, and I made good money. So I always said, if I can make good money with selling air, dance, art, it should be so easy to sell with a product. If I have a product in my hand that I know is really good. So, yeah. That's
impressive.
So, there was not really a plan. So I came to Chile and then I thought, okay, I need a job. And in the meantime, I will start developing this business. But I knew at one point I want to be independent again. And I want to have, because I love my own time, my own rules, my own way of doing things. So that I had very, very clear in my mind. But in the beginning, I worked as an English teacher, because at the end, I needed the money to do this. One, two, I didn't speak Spanish. So what kind of job can you do? English teacher, and then in the hours, in the night, in the evening hours, I would work on the business plan together with my husband. So we did it together, so he could do more from the Spanish side or the Chilean side, like what is the idea, how do they move, what kind of pictures do we have. And from the fat boy side, no, the pictures need to be with more blondes, it needs to be more Dutch, it needs to be more. Yeah, that's how we started. And it was really plug and play, trial and error.
Yeah, I can see that. And did your, current husband at the time, your partner, your boyfriend, did he ever see a fat boy in his life?
No, before not. So we got the samples like after 3 months and he was like, what are you so enthusiastic about?
Yeah.
But then we then arrived the samples and we were already planning the business and everything. And so we had the first four samples and I really took this on my back. I walked to like the PC Hoofdstraat, which way they would say in Holland, like the top shopping street in Chile. And I would just walk on the street with the fat boy in my hand, and it's big, running around and like, I think this store could be interesting. And walking in with the fat boy, I said, I have a nice story and I have a really cool product and I would like to show you.
And how did
that
go? And I
think everybody thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, you just answered my question.
Yeah, no, I really had the feeling that people would look at me, oh, what's this crazy Dutch person blondie doing here?
Yeah. Well, potentially they thought that, but you yeah. believed in it, your partner believed in it, your partner believed yeah. you without seeing a fat boy in his life. He was very committed to make this a big success. So I think that drive yeah. is very contagious. Like for yes. me, it's very contagious. So you shared that you had this year, or Fat Boy gave you, let's say, a year of trial and error. You gave yourself a year, and aside from being an English teacher, looking back at that specific year, how does it make you feel? How did it go?
I learned. I feel like I tried the first year. I tried to adapt to the Chileans. I try to adapt it to how do they talk, how do they move, how do they negotiate. But on top of that, I didn't speak well Spanish, so I didn't understand really well. So I tried to listen a lot. And that came a lot from listening to my husband, and had a business partner at that time, listening how they did business, how would they do things, how would they... And I would come in with my ideas and say like, but shouldn't we do this and this? And then at the same time thinking, yeah, okay, whatever, I'm Dutch, I'm just observing, I'm trying to do it. And so the thing is, they sent, because I was with two Chileans and me, and they said, well, as soon as we had the products here, we said, okay, we have to go into the store and just say like, hey, look what I have, this is cool, and you want to have this, and try to sell it, and hopefully we can sell stock to them, and hopefully they buy from us and want to put our product in the store. That's literally what happened. And they said, you have to go into the store. And I was like, I don't speak a word of Spanish. How do I go in the store? No, they find it really interesting here in Chile if you go into the store. Yeah, but I don't know how to communicate. So we had a partner situation. Always somebody would go with me, like, and I would start the conversation and I would present the product, because they have a saying here, if it's German or Dutch, it's a good product. So as soon as they see me as a Dutch person, they would believe that this product is a good product, which for me was something that I thought, why in God's name, why do they think this? Like, I do believe this is a very good product, but not because of me being blonde coming yeah. in. Anyway, so I came in the store and then we had a conversation. Sometimes they spoke English, so many times the meetings were in English and we could manage in English, and sometimes we could not. And then my partner at that time would take over, which would be my partner or the other business partner. So, but the saying was also, you have to go in, you have to start the yeah. conversation, you have to tell the qualities of the product. And for me, it felt really like, I'm a little bit unprofessional here. Like, I cannot really express well what I want to say, and I'm trying half Spanish, and English, and I don't know if they in English they really understand what I'm saying. So it was really a juggle with those first meetings, and at the end, the ones that spoke English, that was more fluid because I could really explain everything. But so that was a very interesting year and difficult also, and was really every time, okay, I'm going to prepare myself, I'm just going to walk in, I'm just going to put my mind on sales today and just do it. And like that.
I think that mindset, to be honest, like if you operate, because let's be super honest, you had zero experience in working, you know, in the Chilean cultural context. You had zero clue. You hardly spoke the language. So I think with the mindset of, okay, this is going to be trial and error, I'm going to sit back, observe, do whatever I can, do my absolute best and try to learn from others is probably the mindset to go. I think it's also very interesting to hear, you know, how you felt that you said, okay, I felt a bit unprofessional, because that is a very clear example of what we call recontextualization, basically, because in your cultural context, coming from the Netherlands, that would be the case. You know, if someone in the Netherlands would come into the store, hardly speak a language to communicate in with a product that is relatively unprepared, that would probably be perceived as super unprofessional. So it's really interesting to hear.
Messy. Like, yeah, for me, it felt messy. Like,
No, and that makes sense, because I think from your cultural context, from your cultural background, it would be. If you would be a store owner in the Netherlands and someone from abroad would come in with a massive beanbag on its back, you know, and let's say with hand and feet and drawings trying to communicate what he or she is trying to tell and sell, that would probably be a bit messy. That would be perceived as messy as well, I think. And so you, it was not the full year was not like this, right? The full year was not as, let's say, messy, so to say.
No, this was really beginning. So at one point, okay, you start to get a little bit of rhythm, like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. If you talk about Holland and if they speak English and if they speak about Fat Boy, it's me. If they talk about more business-wise negotiation, how many they're going to buy and what are the prices and what are the margins, they talk more to my partner. So we got a little bit of level in this. But then at one point we get to the big retailers that wanted our products. So we needed to get in there. And then I start to get to know how to do the conversation. My Spanish got better. So at the end, I could do the conversation alone. But yeah, you have like 80% that says no and 20% may, oh yeah, maybe, yeah, nice. Oh, I have to say, a detail on that, they don't say no. So they say, oh yeah, nice, but nothing comes out of it. And then the 20% is like, okay, that has a follow-up, nice. And then at one point we were presenting to a big retailer and I went with my partner and I thought, okay, let me see how this goes. I had a beautiful presentation, PowerPoint prepared and with all the details and how we can do it and how we can put it in the store and how they need to buy it. And I really thought about everything. And we come into that office and there's this lady sitting and said, hello, welcome, how are you? And we sit down and they start, and my now husband start to talk. And he starts to talk about the children and the holiday. And I was like, what is this? What are we doing here? I have this whole presentation prepared and you're talking about the children and the holiday? I really didn't get it. And I noticed already, like in our meetings many times, any meeting, it goes like that. But this is a sales presentation. So a sales presentation, I need to talk about the product, right? I need to talk about the qualities of the products and the prices and how we're going to present it. And this took an hour. And I was like, I'm doing my time here. What? And when do I still talk or no? I got really insecure about my presentation also, which he's seen and which we talked before. But at the end, okay, I did my presentation and everything went okay. And we got back in the car and I was like, I don't really know what happened. Why did you talk so much about other things? And he's like, no, you need to get a relationship with them and you need to get... I was like, okay. And this was already a year, 1.5 years after I started, I think. And I was like, okay, wait. So 2 days after, I had a meeting alone with the new store. And I thought, I'm going to turn everything around and I'm going to do it exactly like he did. So I came in and I was like, okay, I cannot talk about business. I cannot talk about business, not about my product yet. So really focusing on talking about my holiday, how I met my husband, how I came to Chile, and I had a lovely time. It was amazing. And it was really chit-chatting. There were three, for me chit-chatting, there were three ladies sitting there and we had so much fun. And then at the end, the last 15 minutes, maybe after 1.5 hour, 2 hours, I presented the product and I showed them, this was at that time the ICSI, how to make an ICSI and how to hang it. And I closed the deal and we are best friends and we have a very good relationship still with this store. And it was for me such an aha moment, like, what just happened here? Wait. So from that moment on, it was for me like, okay, the sales, I need to talk about other things first. Like.
That, I mean, it's super fascinating to hear you share this. And I mean, you said we had a lovely chit chat, for me, chit chat, basically. In the first place, because I mean, what I can sense from your story is that that would not be your expectation, right? You would have a different expectation of a sales meeting. This was probably not one of them. But you learned by observing and doing and seeing, you know, your Chilean partner being successful with this, really. Because can you shine a little bit of light on how, for example, in the Netherlands, or because, I mean, you had meetings with Fatboy as well.
Wait, can I go back one point? I think please. At that point, I still did not realize that that's how they do business. I think that that's more a message from your side that came at one point that says, yeah, but that's how you do business. And for me, it's more, oh, maybe my partner, this is the way how my partner communicates. And with him, it's working really well. Yeah. I still did not link that to cultural differences or to...
No.
But I thought, okay, I use his method.
Yeah, you were basically copy-pasting something that you saw prior that worked, but you were clueless why that was important, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If I hear you tell that, my heart cries to hear that took a year and a half thinking of, you know, all the opportunities that, yeah, potentially were missed in that year and a half. How much missed business. I mean, we cannot turn back time, but one of my missions is to create awareness around this topic so that, well, for you, it's, let's say, a year and a half too late, but for someone else, it might be right on time. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're right. It's a way that you do business. I usually try not to generalize because, even in Latin America, within the countries in Latin America, there are differences, but in general, in Latin America, trust is built more through the human relationship. So if you want to do business together, and I think we all agree that doing business with a stranger is scary, you know, you don't know what to expect, really. So trust helps to make it less scary. And in to build that trust is through the human relation. So yeah, you chit chat about a million things, not because you really want to talk about your summer holidays or your grandmother or the birthday of your neighbor. It's because you want to get the conversation going and you show who you are beyond that representative of Fatboy, because that's what makes us trust you more. on this side
yes.
of the world. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that that took a year and a half or maybe yeah. even longer, but
yeah.
No, and it's extremely fascinating, especially because you are Dutch, you're born and raised in the Netherlands, so you have a very Dutch cultural profile, but you of course adapted to the Chilean way of working, but you still have this interaction with Dutch companies, right? I mean, you
yes.
in order to import and to buy products, etc. Is that difference between those two cultures very present for you? Very
yeah, when
visible.
I have meetings with yeah, if I have meetings with providers in Europe, it's much more direct. It's like, hey, do you need something? No, actually, I'm going really well. And they noticed the other day, they said, yeah, but Elsleen is working quite well on her own. So she doesn't need a lot of help. Like we have, if you compare it to other countries that they work with. So I hear that from their point of view also. Or yeah, if I need it, I ask it. And the other way around also, but yeah. It's very direct. Yeah.
Yeah. And probably that whole, you know, chit-chatting, human interaction is much less present, right? Because what you see is what you get. No news is good news. And yeah, I mean, that comes from, and there are always exceptions here and there, but that comes in general from the fact that in the Netherlands, we tend, and I say we because I'm also guilty. I'm also Dutch, obviously. So we tend to separate emotional and cognitive trust. So cognitive trust comes from the brain. I see that you come on time. I see that you pay your invoices on time. You meet all the deadlines. You know, you deliver what you promise. I trust you. Where emotional trust is trust from the heart, is more effective trust, is, okay, you're my sister, I trust you. Or you're my best friend, I trust you. Or I, you know, like... And in the Netherlands, we tend to separate that trust where emotional trust from the heart is more for at home and cognitive trust is more for the workplace. So it's also yes. not very likely that, for example, in an international working environment in the Netherlands, you would invite your colleagues to your birthday. Because that level of trust is disconnected, really. So you know, I have cognitive trust for my colleagues, but that doesn't mean that I let them into my house, because that's for emotional trust. And that is extremely interesting. So this is why, for example, in the Netherlands, in order to do business together, you sign a contract.
Yes.
And that contract is valid, which is different in Chile. Or, well, a contract is valid, don't get me wrong. But in order to get to that contract, you need to really build that level of trust. Because in Chile, cognitive trust from the brain and emotional trust from the heart is much more woven into each other, basically. And this is what you yeah. experienced with your fat boy.
Yeah, you noticed also, like... In my business, if I need help, I need I'm doing some outsourcing, then it's always you ask somebody who can recommend somebody or who is a good friend of somebody, and that's how you get the people to work for you. And it's not like, okay, I heard that these guys are very professional, very good, so I'm gonna work with them, I'm gonna look it up, and I'm gonna no, somebody needs to tell you that.
Yeah. And This comes, I mean, generally in the entire world, we see a little bit of that pattern changing slightly. But where that, what you just described, comes from is because how do I know that I get my money after doing business with you? It's because I know someone that knows you, that knows someone, that knows someone, that knows you. So when the shit hits the fan, sorry for my French, I have several people to call and they all take a certain level of responsibility because they were also part of how I got to you, right? So yes. You share the responsibility or the, let's say, accountability slightly for when it goes wrong.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still in Chile very present. I know. And how do you experience that in your business as well, other than maybe with providers or anything, but maybe with your team or?
Yeah, in general, like now they recommend me through other stores, they recommend to work with me. So I get
good.
A contact and then I get like, oh, this store sent me to you because we would like to sell your products, or we would, that's how they come to us in general. And what do you mean with that, within my team?
No, for example, so, I mean, you already said I see that same pattern, but then actually it works in your advantage. So you are recommended through others. So that is great. And no, I mean, for example, I was more aiming for, do you use in your business, whether if it's with suppliers or big retailers or maybe with your team, do you use that same strategy also? So, you know, are you looking for, you know someone that knows someone that could recommend someone? Are you using it in your advantage?
Sometimes, but you know what? I find that really difficult. I know it's like that, and I know, but from the heart, I feel a blockage, like, yeah, but can I ask this person? But it starts to come. It's now more and more, a little bit by little bit, but still there's always a little bit of hesitation before I do that.
Why do you think that is? Do you have any clue?
Well, I think this is a very cultural thing, and it's so, I'm born with it. It's so in your system almost, like mentally, you know it, but the,
yeah,
I'm doing a lot of movement here. The body.
Yeah, exactly. The people cannot see that, but no, it's true. It's almost like you know it,
yeah,
but it's so unnatural to you because it's such an unnatural way for you to get business done. That probably for you, and I mean, please correct me when I'm wrong, but if we look at the perceptions, you probably feel like you're taking advantage of people.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that.
Yeah. So if we take that example, if you allow me, so that's the perception. So there's no wrong or right, correct? Whether, because it's just the way things are done. So the way, you know, trust is built in Chile, or the way, you know, you get through certain results in Chile is not the same way as it is in the Netherlands. We just established that. So in Chile, you call someone that knows someone and you get recommended, and then there's a certain fundamental layer that makes us trust you, as an example. That is for a Dutch perceived, let's say, as taking advantage of people. Also, lack of productivity, because, you know, why would I need to go through five different people if I can just call that same supplier and, you know, he or she has a good product and we can help each other out? You know, it's a waste of time. So that's perception, right? It is not a waste of time. It's how you perceive it as a such person. So imagine how it is the other way around. If from a Chilean perspective, this is normal, right? This is the default. You go through several layers and several people in order to get somewhere. So imagine that from a Dutch operates in Chile and a Dutch does not follow that same pattern. That will be perceived from a Chilean perspective, like, who on earth do you think you are?
Yeah, you invasive, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just invading me. I mean, I don't know you. I know absolutely no one that knows you. Yeah, I love the fact that you have a beanbag, but I mean, ciao, really. Because that's scary and that's tricky. So they will feel invaded and they will feel, or they will perceive that as invaded, and they will perceive that as, someone that is not willing to invest in the relationship and is only looking for doing business. So cold, as an example, overproductive, over-efficient, et cetera, et cetera. And again, there's no right or wrong, but this is why it's so important that we, in international business, we learn from this perception
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is also an eye-opener what you're saying now. Like, how do they perceive me, probably, because I can be direct and I can, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, because and now we're looking at this example, Celine, because you operate as a Dutch in the Chilean market. But imagine that you do all of this on remote, as an example, which is today super likely, right? There's a lot of businesses and a lot of people operating with people from other cultural backgrounds without being physically in that country. And also cultural perception basically means that two different cultures can look at the exact same and perceive them differently. So you
Yeah.
perceive Chileans potentially as, let's say, well, let's call it unproductive for the lack of a better word, because you have this process of reaching out to so many people in order to get business done. But Peruvians, as an example, are even more relationship oriented than Chileans. So they will perceive Chileans as a Chilean will perceive the Dutch.
Oh yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
imagine that. Yeah, so yeah, this, so basically same people, right? Same human beings, but different type of perceptions. So it's very, very interesting to to hear you say this and to see how you're navigating through it. And I also love that you said, I know now how certain things are done, but I don't always know why it's important or what it is for, basically. What is the bigger purpose? But it seems that you're navigating yourself quite well. So
Yeah, and
yeah.
what I find interesting, what I also thought before this interview, what I was thinking about is like you can know things how to do it and you see it, but internally you don't feel it. So, or at least me, like I still hesitate with certain points to do it because yeah, it's not in my nature. It's not, yeah, but shouldn't it be done like this or shouldn't be? And then it's like, no, head, this is how it works here. So you need to take that step. This is the, for example, we have an e-commerce as well. And I sold a, I told you this story. I sold what was it? Well, I sold a product and I delivered the wrong color. And the lady called me and said, oh, you delivered the wrong color. And I felt so bad. I was like, oh my God, no, I need to fix this. And oh no, don't worry. And full attention to the client. Yes, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm in the south now. I'm not in Santiago, but we can do it next week. And okay, is it when would we working for you? Can it be on a Wednesday or can it be? Yeah. Okay, so we set the date. We had a meeting. At that time, I would go there to do the swap of the colors of the product. So the day before, I had to move everything around because the product was in another store and I need to change a lot of things. I was working like a complete day just for this change of product. It was a very stressful period. And so I arrived there and my husband asked me, did you call the client? I said, why? I have this appointment. I have this appointment. I made it last week. This time I would be here. So I keep up with my promises. That's client service. I knocked the door and there was a kid opening the door. I said, is your mom here? Oh no, she's on holiday in the south. And I was like, did she leave a product maybe? Like I was supposed to change the product. And she said, oh, I don't know, there's nothing here. So I called the lady and she said, oh, you know what? I really start to like the color now that it's here. So don't worry about it. And I just really stepped in the car and I started crying like crazy. And I was like, I don't understand this, and I did so much work for this
Yeah, a whole
and thought
day.
I was doing a very well service to this client, doing everything to help her out. And yeah, so
No,
wrong
and
decision.
I, coming from a Dutch background, understand completely how that felt. Like, you were coming from the intention of really making this customer happy. According to you, there was a appointment written in stone. Right? And
Yes.
coming and picking it up.
Yes.
You drove there by yourself. You you were all prepared, and then someone is not there, and that feels like so, yeah, like, you know, yeah, like the finger, really,
yeah.
kind of, in a way. The truth is that this has everything to do with the approach and the flexibility towards time, where deadlines are more fluid, where time appointments are more an indication rather than an actual meeting. And this is something that is relatively easy to understand and to navigate through once you get it. But it's also at the same time the one that causes the most frustration, because it's so evident for many people. Because that goes from, I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes and you never get a call, to in personal life, you're sitting in a restaurant because, you know, dinner at 8 and people arrive at 10:30. And this is these cultural differences you see anywhere. There's zero
meetings
the same.
Yet you need to confirm everything. So a meeting or a delivery, or you need to say in the morning, hey, we're coming today. Somebody can receive the product, right? Hey, do we have the meeting today? Oh, no, I cannot make it. Or, do we have a meeting in an hour almost? Yes, we have the meeting. Okay, perfect. Like, or no, it has to be 1 hour later. So it, like, your agenda can be every day different than you thought it would be. And in this case, again, my husband told, I told you so, you need to call the client, you need to confirm, you need to, and I heard him, but still, as my
feeling culture,
no, this is how you should do business. This is how I should do my client service. I did not listen.
No, but you're wired differently, and you cannot rewire yourself. No one can. So if you have lived in one place until approximately your puberty, that's your cultural background, and that's how you're wired. If you like it or not, that's how you're wired. You can adjust, you can learn, you can you know, especially in business, you can influence through different type of leaderships, but you're wired in a certain way, so you will be triggered, because that's where the difference lay. You have a much more linear approach towards time. You know, things happen in a chronological order, and
yes,
a time and a date is a time and a date. But again, so you managed to find a way to navigate yourself through that in the Chilean context, but that perception goes both ways. So an average Chilean will perceive a Dutch as super, you know, unflexible towards time, like, you know, stubborn, unflexible, incapable to adjust to what the situation requires, because, you know, it's very punctual, basically. Not saying that Dutch are, neither saying that Chileans are unreliable when it comes to time. You just, we have a different approach how to deal with it, really.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, I mean, thank you for sharing that example. And I think, I mean, I hope that the lady is still happy with the color of that product.
She never came back. She never asked about it. I think she even bought more products. So
there you go. So it paid off in the end, really. And
yes.
And I think it was an important learning, or let's say it's probably something that would never happen to you again, but it's an expensive learning.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, expensive. And so within Kensa, you also have a team. You manage a local team, or like a team that is also culturally relatively diverse, so to say.
Yes.
And you once told me that you do, I wanted to say try, but that's a poor choice of words, that you prefer to manage your team and to operate with the business in a relatively egalitarian, which is also relatively Dutch way. So you try to eliminate as much hierarchy as possible.
Yes, exactly. Like, I feel like everybody has to has their input to the subjects that we have on the table, the problems that we confront. And I feel everybody has a different approach to it. And by hearing everybody's approach and everybody's view on it, I think we get to better decisions. So I don't feel better in my decision. I don't feel that the other one is better. It's just we make a choice between the between our team, what we think is the best. And we try that. And if it doesn't work, okay, we get back to the table and we see together, like, okay, nice try. We tried it. Your idea didn't work. Don't worry. We're going to try the other approach. So, yeah, we were... They have a lot of responsibility in my team also to solve their own problems and to, I can say to them like, okay, you have a problem. How would you solve it? What do you think is the best idea to do it? Well, I thought of A and I thought of B. Well, okay, let's give A a try if that if you think that's the best solution. So they work very independently and very, yeah. On their, they can solve the problems really well and we can really communicate well. And there's their opinion matters to me, like everything they say in the meetings.
And was that type of leadership, so to say, your type of leadership, was that very welcome for them? Was it something that they were used to?
No, when I got back, from that they feel really comfortable and really heard and that there's space for their ideas and space for their development. That's what I get back a lot from my employees.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, based on my own knowledge, both working back in the days in a Chilean organization, but also in the work that I'm doing today, I don't think your leadership style or the way you run Kansa and how you deal with your team is super common. I don't think it's the most common way in Chilean business.
No. No, we notice sometimes when we have to work with other businesses or you need to get to an agreement with others, which sometimes I don't really understand, and that's something I can still learn about this part, cultural differences, to say it like this. Like, for example, we had the other day, I'm a provider for other businesses, but also in my e-commerce, I have providers in Chile for my e-commerce. So it's two ways around. Before, I started as an importer and distributor, so I only sold to other stores. But now that I'm working the other way around with my e-commerce, I noticed the difference between other companies, that they have different ways of working. So, and then it's really the question with who do you talk? So like if it's more commercial and like there's a commercial plan, or for example, we had the other day and we could do a big sale for, end of the year present for a company, something like this. And it was like 500 products and it was in combination with the product, us and another provider. So in my case, my team made a plan and they already set everything up like, okay, we can do it like this, this. And they asked me and I said, sounds really good. Yeah, I think we could suggest that to the Chilean provider. So they contacted him and, we got a bit weird email back. Yeah, we don't know. And then I got a phone call from somebody on his holiday in New York. And he was calling me on a Friday afternoon. I was like, why are you calling me? You're on a holiday. We never call, like almost. But he wanted to discuss this deal because I was the boss and he had late after 1 hour, 1.5 hour talking, I understood that he want to talk like, hey, you know what, if you have a business deal, let's talk with me because now one of your employees came with this. And I did not see the problem because my employee had a very good plan and was approved by me. And I'm okay that because she took over this area that she communicated to the other part business partner in this business deal. But yeah, so there it was like, no, that's something you need to do. And you are the owner, you are the CEO. So you need to have this kind of conversations. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. This is something my business sometimes works different than other businesses.
And I mean, it's a extremely interesting and concrete example, because someone on its holiday spent an hour and a half talking to you on the phone for something that was for you, you know, like a snap of the fingers, done deal, and sign, seal, delivered, basically. And
yes,
and this has to do with the fact that, you know, what we talked about earlier, the way that you give your team responsibility and the egalitarian or non-hierarchic approach that you have with Kansan is something that is uncommon in very Chilean organizations and with Chileans many other countries in the world. Okay, so I'm not trying to you know, to color any negative picture about one specific culture, but Chileans are much more hierarchical, so they defer and refer much more to authority compared to the Netherlands. Countries that are even more egalitarian, so even more less hierarchic, is all the Scandinavians. So Sweden, yeah. Norway, Denmark. That comes from the Vikings. You know, Vikings managed in tribe by consensus, right? So basically it was tribes of Vikings and they needed each other in order to survive. So that is that those, I think Sweden is one of the most egalitarian countries in the world. I will fact check that later. But the Netherlands is also relatively egalitarian. The Dutch also prefer to come to decisions with consensus. Dutch people believe when everyone agrees, the chances of success are bigger. Simple as that. Chileans believe when a decision is made top down, it's faster and people execute. So the reference towards authority is yeah, you basically made your team skip hierarchy by skipping you reaching out to the direct supplier. And
yeah.
That person, one, wants to verify if this is true, because it's uncommon. So he or she wanted to verify, okay, Elsaline, what this person in your team is saying, is that true or not? That person also probably felt something in the spirit of, yeah, who does she or he think he is? Because, yeah, you know, I'm the boss, exactly, of this massive organization and you don't have any authority to talk to me directly, because that's the way his or her business is managed, right? So why would, yes, he or she tolerate that from someone else? So my recommendation would be there, because again, there's no wrong or right. It's just that this different way of approaching it leads to different type of perceptions that are not going to help you driving business results, right? Because if you manage only these cultural perceptions and frustrations, you're going to be tired and without any results. If you really prefer to run and manage your business that way, so egalitarian with consensus, and you want your team to have level of responsibility, and you also want them to bring that to the outside world, for you as an individual, as the CEO of Kensa, to reach out to suppliers to say that that is going to happen.
Yeah.
To give them a call, not an email, a call.
Exactly.
And then to confirm maybe an email, but to give them a call, because that way you show that, you know, the other is important to you and that you take him or her serious, but that this is the way you run your business and that this is going to happen. If they have any issues, they can always contact you. You're always there. You will always keep an eye on whatever is happening, but you're not the one giving all the shots, basically, right? So yeah, something in that spirit. And at the same
time, I thought, yeah, like we talked about this recently, and I thought this was so interesting. Like now I'm working 10 years here, and I never really noticed this. And then I even talked with my team about it to explain, because I feel I'm doing bad to them if they cannot take action. So that was, for my part, I say, okay, guys, I know we are a very Dutch way handling this. So I also want to explain what probably happened here and how we have to manage this next time. So this was really, yeah, a subject within our team, and everybody's like, oh, yeah. So everybody was a bit surprised, but the whole idea, like, oh yeah. Hmm.
They have been working with you like for such a long time that they are completely indoctrinated.
Yes, they're quite used to work that way.
Yeah, and I can see that, and I can also see that it's a very, you know, you have a very committed, high responsibility team. You know, they take a lot of responsibility. They're very committed towards you and the business. And that's, you know, you build that from the ground up. So again, when it's about cultural differences, there's no wrong or right, right? It's just a different way of doing things. And if you understand why or where the difference lay, you can navigate yourself much better. You can manage your energy much better so that it doesn't lead to frustration or irritation so much. But you're also much more effective. You're much more effective, and you book much better results. Because again, you know, when I heard you say, okay, it was an hour and a half of me, you know, trial and error, you know, my heart cries really, because I'm like, oh my God, you know, we could have fixed this, you know, you could have set yourself up for success from the very, very beginning. And that, that is something that I wish for many businesses. So, I'm of course still very happy to hear that you're navigating yourself super well, and you're running Kansa in a very successful way.
And still learning.
And still learning. Yeah. And I mean, cultures are fluid in a way, because I mean, this is a very long story, but the very short version is that what we see in general, cultures that are originally, or let's say, are more hierarchic, so more comfortable with hierarchy, we see that that is slowly, slowly becoming less. So the whole world becomes a little bit more egalitarian, so less hierarchic. And that has to do with also digitalization and globalization, right? Because back in the days, and I need to fact check this, but let's say 1,000 years before Christ or whatever, you know, all the knowledge was with the more senior, the more older, the more experienced people, right? There was no way that if a doctor told you, okay, you have disease XYZ, that you could verify if that was true or not. Of course, now with digitalization and the availability of internet, you know, we see that authority becomes less important. So power distance becomes smaller, really. But it's a long process. And still, Chile will remain being more hierarchic or more comfortable with hierarchy than the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to understand, how's the future for Kansa? How does it look like?
We are working on an interior design service. So we are offering interior design with 3 online meetings. We can make a new design of your living room. And with according to your ideas, how do you feel? What do you do in this space? Do you want to read a book? Do you want to do yoga? Do you have kids? Do you have whatever? So we have, I made a business model around it. So you have a questionnaire. And based on that questionnaire, we're going to go into a process of designing your new home. And you get it by email in 3D. You get a color palette, you get the furniture you need to buy, a shopping list, if you want to buy it, so you can buy it in your own time if you want, or take that as a reference, the colors to put on the wall, and a 3D render. So an image of how it's going to look like now, and the results are amazing. And then it's a do-it-yourself. So the client itself is going to make... improve their home. And we got so many beautiful pictures already back. So this has been started last year. And it's very excited to have a complete team working on this.
Can that also be for office spaces, for example?
Yeah, it's for you buy the service for one space. So that can be or a living room or your home office or a bedroom or a, so you contact one room, one space, and that we're gonna put a theme on it, put how you want it, use the colors that inspire you. And it's a really, really fun process with your designer. So you get your personal designer, and with that, you can make your make yourself a happy home.
So, and if you're listening to this in your office that has been looking like exactly the same for ages, and it could use a bit of a fresh look and feel, they could also reach out to Kenza and get your entire office redesigned, redecorated in a do-it-yourself concept. So it's also a relatively cost-conscious way of doing a rebuild, really.
Exactly. We use the products that are already in the house that you want to keep. If you have a desk and you have a chair that's already there and you can use it again, perfect. And we know the market in Chile, what you have in the design. So if you say like, okay, I want a really good chair and I'm able to spend some money on the chair, okay. But on the table on the side or the plant, that can be whatever store, it doesn't have to be high end. And we can also do that. So we look at the whole market, not only what we sell in Kenza.
Elsalyn, before we wrap it up, is there anything that is important for you to highlight or to bring to the conversation that we haven't touched upon yet?
No, I just think this topic is so interesting, and I think it would help so many. I see all the now when I look back, all the obstacles that I had. That would be so easy to tackle if I had you in my life already. If I had you before in my life 10 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah, like I said, we cannot turn back time for you and for Kenza, but we can look back. We can look into the future and to prevent other things. And, you know, we can inspire many others, hopefully to not make the same mistake that many others did. And thank you for emphasizing that. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we go, where can people find you and Kenza?
Yeah, www.kenza.cl. We also have an Instagram, which is kenza_design_chile. A lot of information goes through Instagram and, of course, the website.
As always, I will make sure that in the show notes of this episode, those two digital channels are to be found. But the honor is mine, if I say so, if I may say so, to inform the listeners that Kenza has recently opened an actual retail store, an actual location in Santiago, the capital of Chile, on Luis Pasteur. Obviously, you will find the exact address in the show notes as well. And I have been able to visit the store and see the products, see the location, touch the fabrics, and I really felt like a kid in the candy store. It's such a great shopping experience. It's fantastic to see the products that Kenza offers, and I really recommend you to go there to pay a visit. Thank you very much, Elsalyn, for sharing your stories with us, for giving us insights on your vibrant journey as a business owner in Chile. Thanks a lot for your transparency and vulnerability. And to the listeners, thanks for listening today.